I thank God that he, I've sensed his presence. The Holy Spirit is here. The message today that the Lord has been speaking to me and that I would like to share with you, I titled it, I Can Do All Things Through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Let's just recognize his presence as we pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here. There is nothing more precious than to know that the presence of God is here in our midst, and we want you to speak to us. I pray that you will let me just be a vessel, and I pray that you will let us receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We usually, when we quote that scripture in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we usually think of that and say, wow, I've got this obstacle I need to overcome. I've got something in life I need help with. And so we begin to take hold of that. Maybe it's an accomplishment that we want, but it's something perhaps that pertains to this worldly life. But I want you to know that in Philippians, when Paul wrote this letter, he was in prison, probably a Roman prison, awaiting probable death, execution. And he said in the 12th verse of the 4th chapter, he said, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. And he said, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. He said, I have learned how to be content. And he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength or who strengthens me. This is the secret of contentment, relying on the strength of Jesus Christ instead of relying on our own strength. Paul spent at least 2 years in chains in the prison, but they tell us that probably this was the last time he was in prison. We know that most of the letters, most of the books of the Bible that he wrote, he was in chains. He was in prison. We think of in prison, it's not just a prison. He was in a dungeon, a terrible situation. And yet, he said, I can trust God. He said, therefore, in Acts, this 26th chapter, it tells us, therefore, having obtained, and Paul is saying this, help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great. No matter where I am, I'm witnessing, giving my testimony, not crying about what I have been through. I have learned how to abound when it's tough and when I have great blessings, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. He said, I say the very things that were prophesied, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. He said, that's what my life is about. And he said, I purposed to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. He was taken before the governors and the kings. And Festus says, you're crazy. The things you're saying, the world thinks that what we believe and what we're saying is foolishness. But it's foolishness to those who do not believe and do not have a hope. Paul said, I'm not mad, I'm not crazy, most noble Festus. He still gives respect to those who are in that are due respect. But I speak the words of truth and reason, for the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. He said, the things that have happened have been out in the open. And he said, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe, he said. And listen to what Agrippa said to Paul. He said, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. How many times have we heard that from people? Almost. I would be a believer, but I can't cross over. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. I would like for you to experience the freedom I have in my spirit without the chains. That's what I want. Although Paul was persecuted, he was misunderstood and facing death, he was still committed to sharing the gospel message. No wonder he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's when he said that there in the prison. We cannot rely on the arm of flesh to bring victory to our situation because our vision of victory may not be God's vision at all. God is more concerned about the eternal victory that can be accomplished through our lives and through what we go through than what is accomplished in the world. I'm reminded of the missionary Jim Elliot. He committed his life to God at an early age and felt called to be a missionary very young. He and his wife and other missionaries with him, four others, along with four other missionaries, they participated in what is known as the Operation Aka. They decided they wanted to go and spread the gospel to a group that had never been exposed to the gospel. The Aka tribe was known to be fierce and dangerous and had never heard the gospel of Jesus. After a few months of preparation, Jim and his friends finally made contact with the tribe. However, due to misunderstanding and the tribe's natural hostility, you see, they were afraid. They had been shut in. And so they, toward the foreigners, and Jim and his friends were speared to death on January 8th, 1956. You remember this story, perhaps some of you. And their dead bodies were thrown in the river. And although their deaths were tragic in the eyes of the world, this seemingly horrible incident inspired other missionaries to continue the work of sharing the gospel to the Aucas. Instead of it causing them to withdraw, they said, we will continue on. Jim's wife, Ruth, and others carried on the legacy and the vision of Jim Elliot. The man who speared him and his friends to death became one of the first converts, and he became a leader of the Christian community. So although Jim did not see that accomplished in his lifetime, it was accomplished through the plan of God. And in the eyes of this world, these missionaries might be counted as fools, but in the eyes of God, they were precious. Precious are those who give their lives for the cause of the gospel. Jim Elliot was known to have written an inspiring, remarkable quote in his journal that I refer to often, and I've even posted over there. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. The scripture, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, means that we can release bitterness and unforgiveness. There are some things that we don't think about. I don't need God. There are so many people, and I'm sure that you have encountered the same, that I've talked to, and they have held bitterness all their lives because of something that happened during their lifetime. Did it really happen? Yes. Are they really hurt? Yes. But in our own strength, we can't release that blame or that unforgiveness for the pain that we've unjustly endured. But through the strength of Jesus Christ, we can do all things. We can let go of that. I see bitterness and unforgiveness destroying lives of people for many, many years. As Jesus hung on the cross, he forgave those who had mocked him and spat on him and whipped him and nailed him to the cross. I believe that he, in that statement, when he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they're doing. I believe this prayer was for the Roman soldiers who were crucifying him, for all others who were involved in the crucifixion, and for you and for me. Forgive us, O God. We do not understand what we're doing when we reject Jesus Christ. In Matthew, the sixth chapter, Jesus said, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The truth is that when you harbor bitterness or unforgiveness, you carry it and you cannot even forgive yourself. You blame yourself. You cannot receive forgiveness. And Peter said to Jesus in Matthew, the 18th chapter, he said, Lord, well, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. How many times is that? I think it's enough that we get in the habit, we no longer are offended by things and that people say or do. During our years of ministry, I've heard the broken cries of children who've suffered from hellish abuse, terrible things that have happened. Jesus can give the strength for family members to forgive other family members. Many times, the abuse is within the family. I remember my husband was raised, he had a stepfather who was very abusive, and he suffered a lot of pain, a lot of agony over it. And it took a long time for him to determine that he had to forgive. And so we got the message when, Joshua was a baby, that my husband's stepfather was dying. Perhaps it was a little before. Maybe Victor was the baby. Anyway, and he was in Dallas, and my husband said, I'm going to go to him. And I said, why in the world would you go to him after all he has done to you? And he said, I have to go. And so I didn't argue. It was tough for us to dig up the money and purchase the ticket for him to go, but we did. And he went there, and he said, when it came back, he said, I'm so glad that I went, because it was the door that opened. My stepfather said, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I mean, he wouldn't even call him by his name when he was a little boy. He just called him boy. Boy, you ain't worth nothing, you know. And he just beat him down and a lot of physical abuse. And he said, but he asked me to forgive him. He said, I'm so sorry that I did that. And he said, I forgave him. And that man died there as he was talking to him and forgiving him. We need to forgive. We don't know what we're withholding from somebody if we don't forgive. And I've told you the story of Elizabeth, who forgave her stepmother. She was years ago. Elizabeth is now gone to be with the Lord, but in fact, she passed away just the week before my husband did. We were supposed to do the funeral. But anyway, she went through terrible abuse, and she stood here and has given her testimony. But the time came, and she was separated from that stepmother who had abused her so terribly. And the time came that she got a message. There's a ticket here for you. Your mother wants you to come to her. And she's, my mother? I don't even have a mother. They said, well, she wants you to come. And she said, no. She said, I won't go. And she had become a Christian, Elizabeth had. And she said, the Holy Spirit said, you go. I want you to go. And so she went. And she told her story, how that she walked in that room and she saw a shriveled up, dying old lady. And she said, I want what you have. I need what you have. And she said, I held her in my arms, and she died, but I forgave her. We need to forgive, and I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And to refuse to forgive is like drinking poison and hoping it's going to kill the offender, because it actually destroys ourselves, our spirits. Unforgiveness is poison to the body, the soul, and the spirit. But only Jesus can bring peace to a broken spirit. We encounter challenges every day, challenges that seem impossible, but we can overcome every obstacle by the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the shepherd boy David. Remember how that he went out to, and I'm sure you know the story, how that he was out in the field when they were fighting against the Philistines. The Israelites were being come against. And David came in, and his father said, here, take some cheese and bread to your brothers. They're out there fighting the battle. And David went out there to the battlefield, and he saw this huge Philistine giant, and he was defying and cursing God and saying, send me somebody to fight with me. You don't have anybody. David said, why is it that nobody challenges him? They said, well, do you see his size? Do you see who he is? We look sometimes at the size of what Satan presents to us. The obstacle is too great and we can't deal with it. But God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And David said, well, I'll fight him. And of course, his older brother said, you shut up, you little kid that wants to get attention. You know, you're just wanting to look important. Just be quiet. Get out of here. But David didn't back off. He said, well, I'll fight him. And somebody told Saul, King Saul. And so they brought David in, and he said, I'll fight him. And he said, well, you're just a scrawny kid. What are you talking about? You're imagining things. And he said, you know what? I killed a lion. I killed a bear. And God gave me the strength that he'll help me with this. We need to remember the things that God has brought us through in the past. He will help us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so Saul said, well, okay, let me put my armor on you. I got to clothe you with something to protect you. Of course, he put that on him. And David said, I can't fight with this. And he said, take it back. This is dragging me down. I can't use this. And so he went out, and when he went out there, Goliath laughed at him. He said, what an insult. You are insulting me by sending this scrawny little kid out here. I'll feed you to the dogs, he said. And David said, you come against me with sword and spear. The devil comes against us with weapons that look like they're so big that they'll defeat us, they'll tear us down. We need to get our eyes off those weapons. David said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I come to you in his authority. And you know, another thing, David wasn't trying to make a name for himself. He was defending the name of God. And so he went against him, and of course, you know the story. He picked up 5 stones, he went out there, and he hit the giant right where he needed to be hit. And he went down, and of course, he didn't stop there. He completed the task. He ran over there just like he said he would do, and he pulled the sword out of the giant's sheath and just severed his head and held it up and said, here, what did all of the people do then? They ran. They fled. And, of course, but, you know, we have to know that we can do all things through Christ. The weapons the devil uses, the Bible says he comes as a roaring lion. But he's not the lion. He's not the true lion. He's just a toothless lion, so to speak. He has no power, no authority over us if we will use the name of Jesus. And so, of course, David became close friends with Jonathan. That was the beginning of his bond with Jonathan. And so, if God is for us, Romans 8th chapter 31, it said, if God is for us, who can be against us? God and you make a majority. I don't care if there are 1,000 people against you. You and God is a majority. God can use the weak or least qualified by the world's standards to accomplish his purpose. He doesn't choose somebody because they are endowed with special abilities. He chooses the one who is an humble and willing servant. He searches the heart to find the one who will rely on his strength, on God's strength. And then I couldn't help but think about the story of when Israel was overcome and Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, sieged Samaria and surrounded it and would not allow them to have food brought in and no food out. And they were just there was a famine in the city. And the siege lasted so long that there was no food. And the people were starving. They were overcome. And so the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, and a woman cried to him, help me, my Lord. She said, I've got a problem. And the story is a horrible account that is unimaginable. King said, if the Lord doesn't help you, where can I get help for you? And she said, but this is the problem. She said, a woman said to me, give up your son so we could eat him today. And tomorrow we'll eat my son. And she said, so I gave up my son, and we cooked my son and ate him. Can you imagine such a tragedy, such a horrible thing? So hungry that she boiled her own son, and they ate it. She said, but the problem is now today she's hidden her son. So she said, I want you to make her give him up. The king heard the woman's words, and he tore his robes. I would too. How horrible. But we have people who are giving up the lives of their children because of the addictions or the problems that they have in life. They are killing their children. They are abusing them, allowing them to be abused. Some of them are selling them in order to get the things that they want. And Elisha came in 2 Kings, he said, I want you to hear the word of the Lord. He said, this is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, food will be available. And he told about it. He said, you'll be able to buy food. And the officer on whose arm the king was leaning said, he said to Elisha, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? Be careful if you say God can't do something. Because you're coming against, that's what the Philistines did. They said, well, no, who's your God? Well, I'll tell you, our God is a God that can do miracles. And he is a God that can do all things through Christ. He will help us. And so he said that couldn't even happen. Well, of course, the next day, there were four lepers that were outside the walls of the city that had been surrounded. And they weren't allowed inside, but they were outside, and they were hungry, starving. And they said, wait a minute. Why do we stay here until we die? We're going to die anyway. Why do we stay here? If we run over there to the camp of the enemy, let's go over to the camp of the Armenians and surrender. If they spare us, we might live. If they kill us, we're going to die anyway. What's the difference? And so they dared to take a chance. Sometimes we don't dare to trust God. And so they got up and went to the camp, and they reached the edge of the camp, and there was nobody there. But there was food, and there were all kinds of provisions, and the Lord had made it sound like there were chariots coming, and the people got afraid, and they picked up, and they couldn't take anything with them. They left their gold, their silver, their food on the table, everything, and took off running. And the men who had the leprosy, they took the silver, the gold, and the clothes, and went off and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent, and they took from that and hid it. And then they began to say, wait a minute. What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news. When something good happens to us, God wants us to share it, doesn't he? And so they said, when the daylight comes, the punishment will overtake us, they said, if we wait until daylight. So let's go at once. We'll go in the middle of the dark. And so they went back, and they told the gatekeeper, told them we went there, and they didn't believe it. They said, oh, that's not can't be true. So they sent a few people over, and the gatekeeper shouted the news, and it was reported. And they went over, and the king got up in the night and said to his officers, I'll tell you what they've done to us. They know we're coming, so they're going to trick us. He didn't trust. Some people don't believe. But anyway, so they took five of the horses, five of the men, to test it out. But they selected two chariots with their horses, and the king sent them after the And anyway, they went in and they found that it was just as the lepers had told them. The food was there. And when the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate, he said, you stay in charge here of the people. When we tell them there's food, you tell them when to come. And so he said, okay, everybody go. Well, just as Elisha had prophesied, just as he said, about this time tomorrow, you'll have food and all that. He said, and the guy said, even if the Lord would open the floodgates of heaven, this couldn't happen. Well, they trampled him, And because Elisha said, you're going to see it with your eyes, but you'll not eat of any of the goods. And sometimes people who don't believe and they say, this is not possible, God could not do this, will not get to partake of the blessings of God if they don't believe. And so that's what happened. He was trampled and he died. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I believe that every martyr has embraced the conviction, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How else could you stand firm and say, I will not bow to another God? The Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:21 says, for me to live is Christ. He's my source of joy, my reason to live, and to die is gain. For I will be with him in eternity, is what he's saying. Why would I give up something that I can just for a little while experience that it isn't even really that great? But when I can gain eternity with him. The exact details of St. Paul's or the Apostle Paul's death are unknown. But tradition says that he was beheaded in Rome. And probably at the time he wrote this very scripture, I can do all things through Christ, probably he never was out of prison. He went to his death. 40 soldiers, remember, who had openly confessed themselves Christians, were condemned, and they were exposed naked upon frozen pond near Sebaste on a bitterly cold night, and that they might freeze to death because they would not give up their faith and deny their faith. And so they, among the confessors, one yielded. One said, okay, I can't take any more. And he left his companions, and he sought the warm baths near the lake which had been prepared for anybody who would give up their faith and say, I won't serve Christ. Then here's a warm bathtub for you. Well, and so he came, and when they immersed, when he got into that bath of warm water, he went into shock and immediately died because of the shock of the difference in the temperature. This is a true account. And one of the guards was set to keep watch over the martyrs, and he saw at this moment a supernatural brilliancy overshadowing them. I'm going to tell you what. Stephen, when he was being stoned, he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. He wasn't sitting anymore. He was standing to welcome him. And this man, this guard, he saw a brilliant overshadowing. He at once proclaimed, he said, I want to be a Christian. If I see the wonderful brilliance of God, that rainbow that's been stolen today, that's God's idea, not the world's. And so he threw off his garments, and they were put out there naked, and he threw off his garments and he joined the remaining 39. He said, I don't want it to come down. There are 40 soldiers, and I want to be that 40th one. And so he was, those that died, some of them froze to death, and those who did not freeze, they burned their ashes. And that was a true account. But there are Christians in the world who are in prison today and are being tortured for their faith in Jesus Christ. We hear about it. We know that in Russia they released somebody that wasn't really somebody I would think would, you know, be the first choice. But there are people who have refused to deny Jesus Christ in foreign nations and even in our nation today, who are being persecuted for their convictions. Today, we dare not say anything against the whatever woke stands for, all of the things of evil. If we say anything against it, we're in trouble. We're liable for, we have to be careful. But yet, they can speak against our God, and they can say everything about us that we are haters if we love God. Let us pray. that they will not lose hope, those who are being held in prison, and that they will not lose hope and that they will know that they can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens them. They need that assurance. So when we think about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, let us remember that what He wants to accomplish in our lives is not necessarily what's comfortable to us. I'm not saying He wants you to be sick or in pain. I'm saying He wants to advance the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of God. And so you may be a source of that advancement, just as Jim Elliot was. And I'm sure that he would never want to come back and do it differently. Anybody who's gone on to be with the Lord, they would never want to come back here, because heaven is so much more beautiful. It's beyond, I cannot even imagine. Let us pray for those who are giving their lives for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you pray every day, lift them up in prayer. They need our prayers. I think sometimes, do they even know that people care or even know that they're going through that? Well, they need our prayers. And so today, as you're watching this telecast, I trust that you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You can also do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But you need to say, Lord, what is it that you want to do in my life? I want that to be what is accomplished. I can do that through you. If you've held bitterness, if you've been hurt, yes, you say, well, I have a right to be bitter. No, Jesus took that already on the cross. He took our bitterness, He took our shame, He took everything for us. And now He wants to give you His life. He wants to give you His love. We can forgive. So if you have not accepted Him, I beg you, I plead with you to make Him the Lord of your life as we pray right now. Heavenly Father, for those who are watching today or those in the congregation, if they have not made you Lord of their life, I pray, O God, that they will make that decision right now. No greater decision is more important. No decision is as important as choosing to follow Jesus. I pray, God, that you'll become the Lord of our lives. We can do all things through you. We can give up those things that are hindrances in our lives through you, Lord Jesus. We don't want to walk on the edge of things and try to be a part of the world. I pray that you will forgive us of every sin, of every compromise, of everything in our lives that is displeasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Church in Casa Grande. I trust that you will have a very blessed and wonderful week as you walk with the Lord. And know, be confident that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Be blessed. I'm so thankful that we have a God that's not the God of this world. There are many gods that people bow down to, but the God that we serve is the God of all gods. He is the only true God. Amen. All right, is there, before we're dismissed, is there anything in before we dismiss that, thank you, Melinda.